I've been preaching a series of messages, as many of you know, during these summer weeks and months that I've simply entitled The Family of God. And we have been discovering in the Bible some of the characteristics of those who are part and members of the family of God. And we've been discovering in the first series, part of this series of messages, that those who are in the family of God are those who obeyed the Father's will. We discovered that in Matthew 12, where our Lord told those around him that those who are his brother and sisters and mother are those who obey the will of his Father in heaven. And I know that many of you know this already, but in the context of Matthew 12, obeying the Father's will means sinners repenting of their sin and turning to Christ and receiving him as Lord and Savior. Those who've obeyed the Father's will, that's the Father's will for all of us. And that is that as sinners, we would turn from our sinful self and turn to Christ and receive him as Lord, that we would repent. And those who repented, they are the ones who become part of the family of God. We've discovered not only is there the Father's will, but also the new birth. And that is that those who have turned to Christ, we've experienced what Jesus called being born again in John chapter number 3. And I said to you in those messages that everybody in the family of God has a birthday, just like everybody in your family, but it's a spiritual birthday. It's an experience when you turn to Christ and He gave you brand new life, eternal life. The life of God became a living reality on the inside of you. I've said to you in the family of God, there's not only the Father's will and the new birth, but there's also the favorite food. Just like in your family, everybody has their favorite food. In the family of God, all of those who've been born again, ladies and gentlemen, we have our favorite food, and it's the same food. And that as newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. That is, we love the Word of God. One of the characteristics of the family of God is our love for the Word of God. It is our favorite food. I've said to you as well in this series of messages, and that is, and one of the things that characterizes the family of God are the personal talks. And that is that when God saved us and we became a part of the family of God, the Bible says in Galatians 4, when He adopted us as His sons, He put the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There's somebody now living on the inside of all of those who've been born again that has connected our hearts to heaven. It is the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. And listen, the Spirit of God living on the inside of us motivates us to want to talk to our Father. Just like it may be true in your family, and that is that the children love to talk to their father, certainly was in my family. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, in the family of God, those who've been born again, they love to talk to their father. They want to talk to their father. They want to spend time alone with the Father. What I'm trying to describe to you is what characterizes the family of God. I began this past Wednesday night preaching a little bit about what I call the long walks. And that is, in the family of God, one of the things that characterizes us, ladies and gentlemen, those who have repented and been born again, that is, we are now the children of God. There's not only the food that we love it, not only the talks that we love, but there's the walks that we take. And that is, we've discovered this past Wednesday night in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, that one of the things that Paul taught the believers at Thessalonica is how to walk and to please God. It probably is true in your family, isn't it? And that is that just about everyone, with the exception of maybe someone who has some kind of a problem or disease, just about everybody learned how to walk. And that's sort of the way it is, and that's the way it is in my family. And I said to those who are Wednesday night, we're in the process of an exciting development in our family at this very time. And that is that my little grandson Matthew is a year old. He's just a little over a year old, turned a year old in April. And Matthew is learning how to walk. As a matter of fact, my wife and my daughter were FaceTiming just a few days ago, and they got all excited. I thought something really was happening. I didn't know what it was for a moment, and my wife asked me to come and look at this, come and look at this. And I looked at the phone, and there he was taking several steps in a row. That's what they were excited about, and rightfully so. Matthew, you'll all be glad to know that Matthew is learning how to walk, and everything is about to change at my daughter's house. His sisters don't know what's coming, do they? And Matthew learning how to walk. Everybody learning how to walk in the Anders family. Listen to me now. The same thing is true in the family of God, isn't it? And that is in the family of God, ladies and gentlemen. Those who have been born again, that have become God's children, one of the things that we learn is how to walk. Now, let me just back up for a moment to say to you what you already know, and that is when you and I were born physically, ladies and gentlemen, we were born with everything we needed to be able to walk. Nothing has to be added. Little Matthew doesn't have to go to the doctor and get some special treatment in order to be able to learn how to walk. He was born with everything he needed to be able to walk. But one of the things that he has to do is learn how to do that. And the same is true for the children of God, those in the family of God. When God saved you, at the moment that you were born again, you had everything you needed to be able to walk with God. You don't need anything else. You've got it all. Everything you need to be able to walk with Him is already yours in Christ, everything you need to be able to walk with God. But one of the things that we have to learn is how to do that, how to use what it is that God has given us when He saved us so that we can walk with Him, learning how to walk in the family of God. You say, well, Pastor, I mean, we all know how to walk. Oh, you know what I think? I think we're all still learning how to walk, don't you? As a matter of fact, I think that we're teaching each other how to walk with God. And we're all in that process of learning how to do it. There's nobody in this room, and especially the one standing, ladies and gentlemen, that's learned everything about walking with God. But I'm in the process, and hopefully you are too, just learning how to walk with God. We looked this past Wednesday night at the example of Peter and discovered that Peter had to learn how to walk with God. As a matter of fact, we looked at some passages where the Lord kept telling him, "Follow me." And we looked at it in Matthew 4, we looked at it again in Luke 5, and you're thinking, well, those must be the same passages from different angles. They're two different occurrences, but they're similar in the fact that Jesus said to Peter and to follow me along with his brethren, along with James and John. He had to keep telling them that, and the reason why is because walking with God, following Him, walking with Him is something that we learn, that we're in the process of learning. And Peter kept having to learn that. And even at the end of the Gospels in John 21, after the resurrection, even then, after Peter denied the Lord three times and Jesus took him on a little walk after breakfast one morning, even then he had to tell him again the same thing he told him at the beginning of the Gospel, "Peter, follow me." This guy's having to learn how to walk and to keep on walking with God. Just like I had to learn how to walk, ladies and gentlemen, you as well. Peter's learning how to walk with God, how to follow Him, how to stay in step with our Lord. And God wants you to walk that way too. And listen to me now. Peter was in for the long walk. When I say long walk, listen, this guy was in for a walk that was going to lead to his martyrdom. In John 21, Jesus said, listen, you just follow me and I'll tell you where it's going to lead. Someday, listen, right now you can dress yourself and go where you want to go, but there's coming a time when somebody else is going to do that for you. And the Bible specifically says in John 21, he was indicating the death that he would die, that he would be taken into captivity and led to martyrdom is what he was referring to. Listen, this guy is going to follow Jesus all the way to being a martyr. That is, he's going to walk with him now the rest of his life. That's the long walk. And that is you walking with God, not for a few days. You and I walking with God, not for a few weeks. Us walking with God, not for a few months or even a few years, but is taking this walk and walking with God for the rest of our lives. That is this long walk with God. Now that's one of the things that characterizes, ladies and gentlemen, the family of God. And when you get to reading about in the Bible, you'll find some people that really knew something about walking with God. Peter certainly learned that, didn't he? But when you go back to the Old Testament, and you'll meet early on in the Old Testament, two men who learned how to walk with God. I want to highlight them for you for just a moment and see their long walk. The first man that I want to highlight for you is a man named Enoch. The Bible talks about him in Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 24. In Genesis 5, verse number 24, we don't know a lot about this guy named Enoch, but we know a little bit about him. The Bible says in verse number 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. That is, when he was 65 years old, he begat Methuselah. And listen to verse 22 of Genesis chapter number 5. And Enoch walked with God. Enoch did. All the way back in Genesis chapter number 5, there's a man walking with God. In a time, ladies and gentlemen, when there weren't hardly any people walking with God, this man was. This is shortly before, ladies and gentlemen, the flood is going to come and people are becoming wicked and they've turned away from God. But there's a man down there and the Bible describes him as walking with God. He walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Let me just say that again. He walked with God after he begat Methuselah, after Methuselah was born 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And again, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I don't know when he started walking with God, but if you read carefully and maybe look between the lines, it looks like there's something about the birth of Methuselah that caused this man to start walking with God. And he lived another 300 years after Methuselah was born, ladies and gentlemen. And he walked with God 300 years. I didn't say 300 days. I didn't say 300 months. I said he walked with God for 300 years. Now, I would call that a long walk, wouldn't you? If it wasn't for what the rest of the Bible says here about him. And the reason why is because the Bible tells us here that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. The Bible tells us here that Enoch's walking with God these 300 years, and one day, he just was gone. It's almost like he was just raptured out in some manner. God just took him. Now think about it for just a moment. This guy walked with God all the way to heaven. The Lord is walking with him. And now listen, I'm going to read between the lines and use a little imagination. He walking with God and he's walking with God and he's walking with God and walking with God. And one day he got so close to God that the Lord opened up the door and said, why don't you just come on in and stay for a while. And as far as we know, he's still there. Sure. That's a long walk, ladies and gentlemen. That's the man named Enoch. He is walking with God. Man, I love that guy, don't you? And the reason why is because I don't know about you, but I'd like to follow his example, and I'd like to be able to walk with God like that. I mean, just a committed walk that says, I'm going to walk with God every day of my life for the rest of my life. And by the way, I like the idea of just one day the Lord just taking me, by the way, don't you? I mean, it'll be a whole lot better than getting sick and having to go through all that. And just one day walking with God and the Lord just say, come on, come on in, and that'd be great. Listen, walking with God, that's what we're talking about. It's one of the things that characterizes the family of God. It certainly is characteristic of this man named Enoch. And by the way, it's not just Enoch, but here, right here in the book of Genesis, we meet another man who walked with God as well in Genesis chapter number 6. In the very next chapter, in verse number 9, the Bible says, back up to verse number 8, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, that is a righteous man, and perfect in his generations. And Noah, guess what he did? He walked with God. Not only is Enoch walking with God, but now we find there's another man, ladies and gentlemen, who's walking with God. Now, if you and I are reading Genesis 6 correctly, this is the man who's walking with God. In other words, everybody else is not. Noah's the only one walking with God, and he has these three sons, and they certainly are benefited from their dad's walk with God. They are blessed because their dad is walking with God. That is, Noah is. I don't know about you, but listen, I have a feeling that Noah was on a long walk, don't you? And there's one day God started speaking to him, and he said, there's going to be a flood, and you need to build an ark, and Noah started building, and estimates are it's about 120 years. That's a long walk before the flood ever came. And you know where God walked him into? Now, I know Enoch got to walk into the presence of God, but this man got to walk right into the ark. And he was there for over a year inside the ark while the earth was flooded, ladies and gentlemen. And then he got to walk off of the ark and got to be fruitful and replenish the earth. He and of course, his sons and their wives. Listen, you're talking about walking with God. He walked into the ark and he walked right back off. You say, well, Pastor, I've seen the ark too. I've been there. I've looked at it. I've walked in it and I've looked around. But listen to me now. You didn't build the ark. And by the way, there wasn't a flood raging on the earth when you did. This guy got to walk in the ark, ladies and gentlemen, and walk back out. You're talking about a long walk. Walking with God. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'd like to be kind of like Enoch was, and I'd like to be a little bit like Noah was, and whatever that means for me. I know that maybe it's not God's will for me and you to build an ark. And by the way, the ark lifting up out of the water is a beautiful picture of Christ according to Peter's writing in the New Testament. But ladies and gentlemen, it may not be God's will for us to build an ark. That is, God may not want us to do that. But I tell you, if you just get to walk with God, you can find and discover the purpose and will of God for your life, for the rest of your life. Wouldn't it be great to be able to spend the rest of your life just walking in the center of God's will, being everything God intended for you to be, doing everything that God intended for you to do? I think it would. And that's what I certainly desire for myself, but also desire that for you as well. That kind of a walk. You say, well, how are we going to walk with God like that? There's some keys. There are some things that the Bible reveals to us. In fact, there's a lot that the Bible reveals to us about how to walk with God. And I've narrowed it down to a dozen. That's right, I said a dozen. A dozen things that the Bible talks about when it talks about walking with God, how to walk with God. Let me mention to you, first of all, that if you and I are going to walk with God like Enoch did, if we're going to walk with God like Noah did, then we've got to walk by faith. We must walk by faith. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, he said this, and that is, he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. You got to learn how to walk by faith if you're going to walk with God. You can't walk with God any other way. Except the walk by faith is not walking by sight. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's not you and I following after what we can see or feel or touch. Is something different from that. Walking with God is a walk of faith. And when I say faith, I mean believing and obeying what God has said, no matter what the circumstances around us are and no matter what the consequences may be, believing what God has said, believing it with all of your heart and obeying it with all of your will. That is walking by faith. And listen to me now, that's the only way that you can walk with God. Now, the writer of Hebrews tries to help us with that, and turn over to Hebrews 11 and let's take a look at this for a few moments. This idea of walking by faith. And the reason why is because that's where this walk starts. Hey, do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the Christian life starts with a step of faith? And that is when God brings you to the point that you know you're lost, when He brings you to the end of yourself where you know that you're a sinner and you're separated from God and under His judgment, you can't do anything to save yourself, and God brings you to the point that you step into the realm of faith and believe in what Jesus did when He died for you on the cross and paid the price and was raised the third day. Listen, nobody's ever been saved until God brought them to a point of lostness, and in their lostness and desperation, God brings them to the point of believing in, resting upon, trusting in what God has revealed in His Word about who Jesus is and what Jesus did when He died on that cross. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've never been saved. You've never been born again. But if you have, that is, the moment you got saved, it was at that very moment that you stepped into the realm of faith and trusted in Christ and Him alone. But that step of faith leads to a walk of faith. Those who have stepped into the realm of faith and have trusted in Christ, even though you couldn't see Him, you believe what the Bible said about Him. Even though, ladies and gentlemen, you have not seen the cross, you believe in what Jesus did at the cross. Even though your eyes did not see the resurrected Christ, you believe that He's risen from the dead based on the Word of God. And when you stepped into that realm of faith, listen to me now, you began what is now a walk of faith. God wants you to walk in that walk by faith, just like you stepped out and stepped into the realm of faith. And Hebrews 11 talks about that, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, that it gives us this picture of all these Old Testament saints. The whole chapter is about Old Testament saints. We might call them the family of God in the Old Testament. And one of the things that characterizes all of these believers in the Old Testament, the family of God in the Old Testament, one of the things that is characteristic of all of them is that they were walking by faith. That is, they were operating their lives out of faith. The direction of their life, when I'm talking about walking, I'm talking about direction. The direction of their life was determined by believing what God has said. is by faith. Notice what the writer of Hebrews writes in verse number 1 when he defines for us what faith is. He tells us here that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When he tells us here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, here's what he means, and that is that faith gives us reality to that which we're looking forward to and have not experienced yet. In other words, there are things that believers that in the family of God are looking forward to that we are anticipating in the future, that we are hoping towards, that we know is going to happen and that we know is true. It might be something, it may be the second coming of Christ. It may be a new heavens and a new earth. And there are things that we are looking forward to, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why that we are 100% convinced, absolutely to the point we lay everything on the line for it, convinced, the reason why is because of faith. Because we believe what God has said. And that, listen, that gives substance to what it is that we are hoping for. The Bible says it's the evidence of things not seen. That is, there are a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen, that we believe in the family of God that you can't see with your eyes. And the reason why, again, is because we're not walking by sight, but we're walking by faith. And the reason why that we believe them is because, ladies and gentlemen, not because of what we can see with our eyes. The reason why we believe it is by faith. Oh, listen, the evidence that we need, that is what provides evidence, that provides evidence for the reality of what we can't see with our eyes, is what God has said, and we believe it. We believe what it is that God has said. And as a result of that, we have evidence for the reality of those things that are not seeable to the eye. For example, that is in the family of God, one of the things that we believe is that we believe that Jesus really is real. We believe that he really lived, a real man born in Bethlehem, of a virgin. He lived and died on that cross. Hey, the reason why that we believe that, even though we haven't seen that, you say, what evidence do you have for that? The evidence, ladies and gentlemen, is found in a book. It's laid out for us in the Bible. And we believe what it is that God has said, even though we've never seen it. It is our evidence. It is the evidence of things not seen. You say, Pastor, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. I won't believe anything that I can't see. Well, you do every day. Every day you believe in things you can't see. Every day. For example, you believe that when you got in your automobile a little bit earlier, you believe that your tires were aired up and not flat. But you didn't see the air. That is, you didn't look on the inside of your tire and just make sure that you had air on the inside of that. You didn't see the air, but you believe there was air in that. And the reason why is because there was some evidence that pointed to that reality. You probably didn't even look at your tires, but if you had up, you would have seen the evidence that there's air in the tire. And you would have believed the evidence. Well, we have evidence to believe that Jesus really is. We have evidence to believe in what we do about the Lord Jesus Christ, not because we've seen him, but because we have right here before us the record of it in the Bible. And we believe it. That is our evidence of things not seen. Let me give an example of this. The Bible tells us in verse number 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So one of the examples of that is we know how the world got here. And we know that God just created everything that exists. Everything that we can see with our eyes, ladies and gentlemen, were made by him. That is, God, the word of God spoke and everything was created. And we know that. That is, the scientific world is trying to discover all the nuances of how the world got here. And in the family of God, we already know. You say, you sure you know? I know that I know. In the family of God, we do. And the reason why is because we're operating by faith. And that is that we believe what the Bible says in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 about creation. It's an example of faith that is giving us, ladies and gentlemen, substance of things hoped for, and we've got evidence of things not seen because we just believe what God has said. Now, the writer of Hebrews starts talking to us about our ancient family, that is, those who were believers before we were in the Old Testament, and how that they were walking by faith. That's how they walked with God. By faith, for example, in verse number 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You remember that story, Cain and Abel, all the way back in Genesis, ladies and gentlemen, chapter number 4, Cain and Abel. Brothers sacrifices to God, and Cain brought the crops that he had grown, and Abel brought the animals that he had raised, and they offered their sacrifices to God, and Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, and Cain's was rejected by God. And the Bible tells us here, verse number 4, that it's by that that he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of the gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. That is, the testimony of Abel is still, ladies and gentlemen, speaking today, even though he's dead, and even though Cain, his brother, murdered him back there in Genesis chapter number 4. Abel brought the right sacrifice, didn't he? The right kind of sacrifice. And the reason why he brought the right kind of sacrifice as opposed to Cain is because of faith. He believed what God had revealed. There's only one way to approach God, and it's through the blood of an innocent substitute being sacrificed for us. And we find that's the means by which Abel came to God, and Cain did not. He was operating by faith. Now, Cain probably sat down, and maybe he thought about it this way. Cain might have thought, well, there's no use of me going and having to get an animal and sacrifice an animal. What's the use of doing that? He could get one. His brother raised these animals. He could have gotten one if he didn't have any. He probably had some too. But even if he didn't, he could have gotten one. He could have swapped him out, a little bit of grain, an animal, and could have brought the right kind of sacrifice. But instead of operating by faith, this guy was operating by sight. Instead of believing the revelation, he, ladies and gentlemen, was reasoning it out himself. He probably thought something like this, and this is just me being between the lines. He probably thought, well, there's no need of sacrificing an animal when I've got all this grain. I'll just give that to God. I mean, why wouldn't that be good enough? I mean, surely God would be okay with me just, you know, bringing what it is I've raised there in my... I mean, if it's okay for Abel to bring the animals he's raised, then wouldn't it be okay for me to bring the crops that I've raised? He probably reasoned that all out in his mind, and it probably would sound very reasonable to most people. But ladies and gentlemen, God has revealed that the only way to approach him is through the innocent substitute, a sacrifice offered in our place. And Cain should have stopped operating by reason and instead believed God's revelation. That's what Abel did. Abel was a man who was walking by faith. And you know what it did? It brought him to the blood. It brought him to the sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says here, because of that, he was accepted as righteous in the sight of God. But it's not just Abel. Hey, you might notice verse number 5 in Hebrews 11, and it may just remind you of somebody I just spoke about. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch, there he is. We read him, didn't we, in Genesis 5? Enoch, the guy who lived and walked with God for 300 years, and then he just was not. Well, the Bible says here how it is that he walked with God. How did Enoch walk with God? The Bible says, by faith. It is by faith that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That is, that he was just gone. He didn't die, the Bible tells us here, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Here's his testimony, that he pleased God. There's Enoch. And the Bible tells us here about how it is that he walked with God. The Bible says he walked with God in the book of Genesis, and then he just was not. He just walked with God, that long walk, all the way into the presence of God in heaven. And the Bible tells us here how it is that Enoch, this man, walked all the way to heaven, was translated by God, and he was none. The Bible says he walked by faith. That is, he was living a life, ladies and gentlemen, that was a life of believing and trusting in what God has revealed and what God has said. This man is a real believer. That is, he... As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us here that he had this testimony. That is, his testimony is that he pleased God. Now listen to me. The reason why he pleased God is because he was walking by faith. Well, that's what the Bible tells us in the next verse, in verse number 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hey, Enoch pleased God, and he did it by faith. Without faith, you can't please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, which indicates to us what this man's walk of faith looked like. That is, if Enoch was walking with God and walking by faith, what did that look like? Well, the Bible tells us here that, ladies and gentlemen, he really believed that God is. He believed that God is, and he believed that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that tells us what this man Enoch was doing, and that is that he was seeking God by faith. He believed that God is, he believed that God hears, and he believed that God answers and blesses those who seek him. Listen, one of the things that characterizes those who walk by faith, like Enoch did, is, ladies and gentlemen, is seeking after God with all of your heart. And that is that I believe that God really is real, and I believe that God has what I need. He's the one I need, and what I need is what he has. And I am seeking after him. Now, the idea of seeking kind of steps up the language enough so that you and I know that this isn't casual kinds of prayers that we're just saying, but it is a heart that is yearning and seeking and wanting to know God and be near to God, and it's a heart that is searching for him. And the Bible says all of those who seek him with all of their with their whole heart, Jeremiah says in 29:13, that they're the ones who will find him. And boy, did he ever. He stepped right into his presence one day and hasn't come back since. Walking by faith. That's what this man did. You see, when the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, we know how he did it now, don't we? The writer of Hebrews tells us he was doing it by faith. You notice that we found another man in the Old Testament in Genesis 6, who was also walking with God. His name was Noah. Remember him? Well, listen, the writer of Hebrews helps us to understand how he did it as well. Look at what it says there in verse number 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There he is, Noah. I say to you what the Bible says in Genesis 6, and that is that he walked with God, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible is telling us here now how he did that. How did Noah walk with God? He did it by faith. That is, by believing, trusting, and obeying what the Word of God said. God spoke, and this man listened. He believed what God said, and he obeyed what God told him to do. He sure did. You know what God told him? You remember this, don't you? God told him about things yet to come. That is, God revealed to him that there was a flood that was coming. Let me remind you once again, as I mentioned earlier, and that is that Noah, ladies and gentlemen, was a man who was the only one walking with God in his generation. Nobody else was. He was walking with God all alone. Now listen, I'm so thankful that in the family of God that there's a family of believers, even right here at Eastern Gate, that we are family of believers who are all trying to learn how to walk with God and draw near to God and experience God in our life. And for that reason, we encourage one another. And we try to help one another. And we try to walk alongside of each other, just kind of like what my parents probably did to me and what yours might have done to you. When you were learning how to walk, take you by the hands and try to teach you step by step how to walk. Even so, ladies and gentlemen, we kind of hold hands here at Eastern Gate, so to speak, and help each other learn how to walk. But listen to me now. In Noah's day, nobody was holding his hands except the Father in heaven. Nobody else was walking with God. Hey, when he went down to McDonald's, there wasn't anybody down there say, hey, Noah, you want to sit over here and we'll pray? Pray with me over here. Nobody's praying. Hey, there wasn't a little church on a hill where Noah could go to and there was a group of believers gathered in there at an 8:30 service or an 11 o'clock service or a 7 o'clock service, gathered in there and learning how to walk with God and worship God and encouraging Noah's. There was not a pastor leading Noah. There was no Sunday school teacher teaching him. He's the only one walking with God. Everybody else has been walking away from God for a while. Everybody else has abandoned what God has said up to this point in His revelation to mankind. The Bible says that He's living in a generation in which man's imagination is evil continuously. Humanity had become so depraved, so wicked, that God has decided to destroy everything and start over. That's how corrupt, that's how bad, that's how vile, that's how wicked it had become. But in that wicked generation, there's a man who's walking with God, even though he is the only one. I would suggest to you that if Noah could walk with God in the circumstances in which he was living, how could we not? Walking with God all by himself. And oh, that God would do such a work on the inside of us that he would bring all of us to the point, each one of us individually, to that point in our life where we would say, not just with words, but from the depths of our heart, and that is, I want to walk with God, and if nobody else walks with God, if nobody else in my family walks with God, I'm going to. If everybody else turns their back on God and walks the other way, I'm going to walk with God. If everybody else in my neighborhood is not walking with God, I'm going to anyway. If all of those at my workplace where I work, if none of them want to walk with God, then I'm going to anyway. And that is, I am not going to turn around. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to change direction. And that is, I'm going to live a life that is characterized by faith, by hearing, believing, and obeying what God has said, no matter what anybody else does. If I'm the only one, which we're not, but if I was the only one, I'm going to do it anyway. Listen, some of you may be in a family where you're the only one who has any desire for God in your life. But let me tell you, just go ahead and walk with God. If nobody else does, walk with God. You say, I don't know how to do it by faith. Here's what Noah's doing. Noah's got his ear bent towards God. And when God spoke to him, this man was listening. God said, there's a flood that's coming and you're going to have to build an ark. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I received a message like that in Noah's circumstance, we would have thought, what in the world? Well, I don't know what that is. That is, as far as we know, there's never been a flood. And certainly there's never been an ark. Nobody's ever done this before. God is telling Noah to do something that nobody has ever done. Listen, he's not going to be able to call up the buddies downtown and say, listen, you got any plans for an ark? He's not going to be able to go online and do a Google search and find anything. So you know what he has to do? Listen to me now. He's got to listen to God. And God begins to give him, in Genesis 6, the instructions specifically about how to build this thing, so it'll survive the flood. He doesn't know, but God does. And you know what he did? He not only bent his ear towards God, but ladies and gentlemen, he opened up his heart to God. And he received what God was saying to him. And he believed it. And he not only bent his ears towards God, and he not only opened his heart up to God, but this man gave his hands to God. And he started building. Took a long time. It was a long walk. But he built an ark that saved him, saved his family, saved humanity, and is the reason why that we're here today. Because one man walked with God. By faith, just by hearing, believing, and obeying what God has said. Listen, that's what every family needs. Every family needs somebody walking with God like that, walking by faith. Hey, that's what churches need. That's what workplaces need. And that is people that will walk with God. Walking with God by faith. Enoch walked by faith, and Noah walked by faith. If you keep stepping along in this chapter, Hebrews 11, you'll find Abraham walked by faith. The Bible says in verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into another place, which he should after receive for an inheritance, talking about the land of Canaan, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Hey, just like Enoch and just like Noah, one day God spoke to a man named Abraham. I said, Abraham, I want you to leave your home, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go to a place that I'll tell you when you get there. All you got to do is just start walking. Just start walking. Now, when you get there, I'll show you. Now, if it had been in our day, here's what we would have done, and that is we would have gotten out our little machine and we would have looked it up on our maps program or whatever it might be that you have. Look it up and find out where this place is at. We would have known. We could have mapped it all out, but obviously in Noah's day, there was no mapping system. But I tell you, God knew where it was at. And said, Noah, if you'll just start walking, I'll take you there and show it to you when you get there. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever been going somewhere? Maybe you're going on a little trip, or maybe you're just going somewhere not so far. And you get into the car or the van or whatever it might be, and you just sit down in the back seat. I believe some of our senior adults do that. They just get in the church van, and they sit down somewhere in the van, and they know they're going out to eat. They know the name of the place, but they really don't know much about where it's at. They haven't bothered to look it up. They don't have their map out in front of them. And I'll tell you the reason why, because somebody's in the driver's seat who knows where to go. And by faith, they just trust that person to get him there. Now, they may take a wrong turn. They may have to turn around and go back the other way. But eventually, they'll get him there. Well, I'm going to tell you, listen to me now. I'm about done, if you're wondering. There's somebody in the driver's seat of your life. Abraham, he knows where to take you. Just follow him. Just obey what he's saying. And by faith, Abraham started walking, saying, Lord, I'll just go wherever it is. I don't know where this place is, but I'll just go wherever it is. I'll just follow you. And if you can picture in your mind Abraham and his wife, and if you can picture Lot was with him, if you can picture them walking along a dusty road on their way somewhere, if you can see them walking, because God said, start walking and I'll show you there. If you can see them walking, then ladies and gentlemen, you are seeing what walking with God looks like. They were walking by faith. Because God said, I'll show you. Just walk. And I'll get you there. And boy, did he ever get him there. Listen. His family is still there today at the center of international affairs and every news program or Abraham's descendants in the very land that God gave him. That man was walking with God. Now listen, that characterizes God's family. Those who've been born again, children of God, learning how to walk with him and walking by faith. Let me ask you the question. Are you walking with God? If not, you start. Simply by believing what God is saying to you right now. He wants you to start walking with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us. And Father, the work that you're doing in our hearts. Father, I pray that you do your work in the hearts of those who are here right now. Those who've never been saved, I pray that you'd speak and work and operate such a way they realize their lostness, their desperate need for Christ, and to turn to him. Father, for those that are your people, God, would you teach us, Lord, how to walk by faith. God, how to believe what you're saying. Father, to follow the direction that you're leading. Father, would you speak loudly to our hearts? Would you correct our steps? So that we can walk in the right direction. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.